This is Chavis. I know a few of you are out there on the line. What we're going to do is we're going to mute the line, so if you need to comment or ask a question, just press star 6 to unmute yourself before speaking. I think I saw Tim was on the line earlier, so Tim, can you start with the invocation?
Yes, let us pray. Most gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, thanking you for your many wonderful blessings. And Lord, we ask for your continued blessings upon this institution. Oh Lord, bless the shareholders, the board of directors, our CEO, our management team, as well as all of the employees. We now, Lord, ask that you bless this country. Lord, as we go through this severe illness that's going around, we know you are healed tonight. We ask that you continue to bless our president and the Congress and all that make laws. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing right now. Now, Father, as we go through this meeting, we ask that you give us guidance. And we pray and ask these blessings in Jesus to Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. The next thing we have is the approval of the annual shareholders meeting for last year that are available, and the chair will entertain a motion. And there's a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Okay, carried. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to call for our auditor, Greg Battier, to report on the proxies. Greg?
Item number one, approval of directors. Yes, 63.14%. No, 11.74%. Abstain, 0.04%. Broker non-vote, 13.76%. Approval of Whipfley LLP as independent accountants, 88.39% approve. Disapprove, 0.24%. Abstain, 0.03%. Item number three, approval of other business, 59.11% approve, 10.32% disapprove, 5.59% abstain, and broker non-vote, 13.65%.
Thank you, Greg. Before we get started into the president's report, I'm going to read a safe harbor statement. And this presentation contains forward-looking statements and reflects industry conditions, company performance, and financial results. These forward-looking statements are subject to a number of risk factors and uncertainties, which could cause the company's actual results and experience to differ from the anticipated results and expectation expressed in such forward-looking statements. So, first, we would like to welcome everyone here to our 124th annual shareholders meeting. On April 13th, 2020, our bank celebrated its 124th birthday. But before we get started, I would like to take this time to remember our dear friend and longtime board member, Eustace Drew Allen, who passed away on March 19th, 2020. Drew graduated from Gulfport East High School in 1970. He graduated from Mississippi State University with a BS in Business and Marketing, and he was a member of Sigma Chi fraternity. After graduation, Drew returned to Gulfport to begin his career with the family business, Allen Beverages. In 1991, Drew became president and CEO, finding great service and helping to meet the needs of his community. He joined many organizations, and his involvement left lasting impressions. He was a board member of the Mississippi Gulf Coast Business Council, the People's Bank Biloxi, People's Financial Corporation, the Salvation Army, the Great Southern Golf Club, People Against Litter, and the Word at Work. He has been awarded the Others Award with the Salvation Army, the Silver Beaver, and the Pine Belt Distinguished Citizens Award with the Boy Scouts of America. He was named Bottler of the Year by the Mississippi Beverage Association. Under his leadership in 2014, Allen Beverages was named North American Pepsi Bottler of the Year, as well as Beverage World Magazine's Bottler of the Year. Gulfport Rotary named him a Paul Harris Fellow, and he was honored by Mississippi State University as the top 100 for 100 years award from the College of Business. Drew was a friend, and he will be greatly missed. The two newly elected directors to the People's Financial Corporation Board are Ron Barnes and Patrick Dennis. Ron Barnes joined the People's Bank Board in December of 2017. Mr. Barnes served Coast Electric Power Association in many key management positions over the last 22 years, culminating with him being elected president and chief executive officer in April of 2017. Coast Electric is headquartered in Hancock County, Mississippi, and provides power to approximately 80,000 homes and businesses along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Mr. Barnes holds a BS in Marketing and Management from the University of Southern Mississippi and is a board member of Cooperative Energy Electric Cooperatives of Mississippi. Mr. Barnes is also actively engaged in his community, serving as present and past board member of various civic organizations, including the Mississippi Gulf Coast Chamber of Commerce, Gulf Coast Community Foundation, United Way of South Mississippi, Public Relations Association of Mississippi, and the Heritage United Methodist Church. Patrick Dennis joined the bank board in mid-2018. He has been with Specialty Contractors and Associates since 2010, where he currently serves as Vice President of Construction and Operation. Mr. Dennis earned a Juris Doctor from the University of Mississippi School of Law, graduating summa cum laude, and holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Politics and a Bachelor of Science degree in Accounting and Business Administration from Washington and Lee University, also graduating summa cum laude. Mr. Dennis is involved in several community organizations, including Trinity United Methodist Church, the Mississippi Economic Council's Board of Governors, Coast Young Professionals, Gulf Coast Carnival Association, Gulfport Gridiron Club, and the Mississippi Gulf Resort Classics Ambassadors Club. We're extremely fortunate to add Ron and Patrick to our holding company board of directors. Their leadership, extensive experience, and active community involvement will enhance the insight of our board. During the first quarter of this year, Rex Kelly and Dan Magruder resigned from our bank board and subsequently the holding company board. We are very grateful to these highly regarded gentlemen for their wise counsel, commitment, and loyalty to the People's Bank and People's Financial Corporation. We will miss them, yet understand their desire to fully enjoy retirement. The decision to resign was considered more than a year ago, and the previous appointment of the new directors in 2018 was part of the bank board succession plan. For the year 2019, People's Financial Corporation earned $1,679,000 in net income compared to $629,000 for the year ended 2018. This is an increase of some 248%. During the first quarter of 2020, People's Financial Corporation earned $1,123,000 net income compared to $405,000 net income in the first quarter of 2019. As in the past, we continue to focus on our bank's biggest issue, asset quality, mainly non-performing assets. Favorably impacting the first quarter of 2020 results was the sale of $630,000 in other real estate and the sale of our old money center location at Highway 49 and US 90, along with selected security sales. Non-performing assets. The bank's non-accrual loans have decreased significantly since their highest peak on December 31st, 2011. At that time, There were 57,593,000 in non-accrual loans. On March 31st of this year, it has now dwindled to 8,833,000. Of this amount, 6,023,000, which amounts to four relationships, are in bankruptcy. Beginning in the second quarter of 2020, we anticipate non-accrual principal reductions of approximately $125,000 per month. Again, the good news about loans in bankruptcy is that they are one step closer to resolution. Other real estate owned. The bank is consistently reviewing our other real estate property values due to fluctuating real estate prices. The increase in other real estate over the last several years has been due to management's aggressive program of identifying and resolving problem credit issues. Foreclosure or bankruptcy is the final step. In 2015, we peaked with $12,297,000 in other real estate. And since that time, it has been reduced to March 30th of this year to $6,572,000. In 2019, the bank estimated it would dispose of $2 million in other real estate. We were able to sell 33 parcels for $3,141,000 for a gain of some $386,000. This is 157% of our estimate, and this was our second best year ever in disposing of other real estate. The bad news with other real estate is that it grows just about as fast as we can dispose of it. We anticipate that we will dispose of another $3 million of other real estate in 2020. And so far, on March 31st of this year, we have disposed of seven parcels for $746,500 for a gain of $41,595. The loan loss reserve. We were encouraged by the zero provision for 2019 losses compared to $122,000 provision for 2018. Please note that our zero loan loss provision in 2019 was the lowest since 1998, and the provision continues the major downtrend that it has followed for the last 7 years. Asset quality. As in the past, we are taking the liberty of including our past due loan status, showing number and dollar amounts of loans in each category at the end of the year and for the current quarter. On December 31st, 2011, we had 136 loans that were either 30 to 59 days past due, or $17,373,000. On March 31st, we had 38 loans totaling $3,707,000. The next category of 60 to 89 days past due, on December 31st, 2011, we had 27 loans totaling $3,900,000. On March 31st of this year, we had 11 loans totaling $595,000. As to the 90-day loans still accruing, on December 31st, 2011, we had $1,832,000 worth of loans, or 13 loans in this category. On March 31st, 2020, we had one loan totaling $39,000. If you go back in and you pick up the non-accrual loans and total them up for the entire year, that on December 31st, 2011, we had 240 loans that were past due. That was $80,723,000, or 18.7% of our loans were past due. On March 31st, 2020, we had 74 loans totaling $13,175,000, or 4.9% of our loans were past due. As to capital, capital has always been a hallmark of this institution. Historically, since the Great Depression, our bank has maintained a much higher capital level than all of its peers. Our total capital on December 31st, 2004, was $85,801,000, or 15.87% of capital. The reason that that date was chosen was that was the year prior to Hurricane Katrina. Today, we have got $99,543,000 in capital as of March 31st, and this amounts to 16.61%. As to liquidity, the bank has a liquidity plan that has been tested. Our cash flows are monitored and measured. In our recent stress test of cash flows, management had satisfactory results. Our contingency funding plan addresses liquidity during crisis scenarios. Our greatest source of liquidity is from our large commercial checking accounts and the Federal Home Loan Bank of Dallas. Our emergency source of liquidity is from the Federal Reserve discount window. Bank management feels that we are a leader in public deposits in our market, and we consider all large accounts stable. While essentially a large portion of the securities are pledged, management routinely pledges securities in excess of the secured liability to the state of Mississippi to facilitate the release of called and sold securities. We have $105 million in securities that are maturing in the next 3 years. It is our intention to reinvest our treasury portfolio as it gets called, sold, or matures into loans and mortgage-backed securities in order to increase earnings. Even though our earnings have improved, our earnings still need to improve. Our reduced provision for loan losses has had a major positive impact on earnings. In 2018, each time the federal funds rate was hiked, we generated another $9,000 per month in net income, as the New York prime rate also increased. In 2019, the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates three times. In 2020, the Federal Reserve's new quantitative easing policy, starting in March of the year, has placed tremendous pressure on our net income margin. Our last income margin for net income was 3.10% for the period ended March 31st, 2020, and that was down from 3.3% for the period ended March 31st, 2019. In years 2014 and 2015, the bank had back-to-back loss years. Following that, we've had four consecutive years of positive earnings. During 2019, the bank had no recorded income tax benefit or expense. The Tax Cuts and Job Acts, which was enacted on December 22, 2017, positively impacted earnings for the year. Under this legislation, the company was able to remove the existing valuation allowance on its AMT tax credit carryforwards, which resulted in a deferred tax benefit of $742,000 in 2017 and $36,000 income tax benefit in 2018. We are continuing to use the tax planning strategies that we have developed that have helped us return to positive earnings as follows. The bank continues to work through the credit quality issues as the provision expense continues to decline, and in 2019 it was a zero number that has not been matched since 1998. We are accelerating taxable income to take care of our tax carry forwards. We are continuing the switch from the purchase of tax-exempt securities to taxable investment securities. The bank's mortgage-backed securities had the largest gain in our portfolio, and most of the securities are classified as available for sale. The proceeds of security sales and called securities will be reinvested in loans and taxable state, county, and municipal securities such as school district bonds and water and sewer issues to increase taxable income. The Federal Reserve's new quantitative easing policy has generated substantial gains in the bank's treasury portfolio. And again, making more loans is the bank's highest priority since we are a community bank. Well, what has your bank done to increase profitability? First, we are going to continue working to reduce the non-accrual loans, the past due loans, and the other real estate. We are making great progress. We only had a $122,000 loan loss provision for 2018, and in 2019, our loan loss provision was zero, again, the lowest since 1998. We expect the non-interest expense reduction program that we started over 3 years ago will continue to lower the expense categories mainly on insurance, maintenance contracts, salaries, legal fees, and other real estate expenses. We upgraded our bank's ATM network in late 2016 to accept electronic deposits, and we saw increased deposit activities in 2017, 2018, and 2019. By the end of this year, we will complete our ATM upgrade to the Windows 10 platform at a cost of approximately $135,000. Like last year, the enhanced debit card fraud protection capability through Card Guardian text message alert service has substantially reduced fraud loss in our debit card area. We have upgraded our mobile check deposit service. You can go deposit your checks conveniently and securely to checking or savings account with our mobile app, People's Green to Go. And also, we were able to upgrade our People's Choice phone service in 2019, and we're still adding features. And in the latter half of 2020, the bank will convert its debit card program from Visa to MasterCard. Well, what are some of our longer term goals that we have set? Well, first, the company reestablished its semi-annually dividend in October of 2017. We plan to continue our semi-annual dividend, and in May of this month, this year, we are pleased to announce another dividend payment of 2 cents per share on May 8th of 2020, and then gradually increase this amount going forward. The first two phases of our stock repurchase plan are complete. We have already repurchased and retired the initial 140,000 share allocation, and this program has been a huge success. We reopened another phase of this plan in November of 2019, and we have retired 59,000 shares of our 65,000 share allocation, which only leaves us another 5,475 shares still to be acquired. Well, what's happening on economic development on the Gulf Coast? Well, the city of Biloxi is looking to wrap up its Katrina funding. The city has some $65 million left to spend, which should be wrapped up in early 22. The Mississippi Gulf Coast community should receive $750 million in the Gulf Coast restoration funds as part of the BP economic damage settlement over the next 20 years. I believe that most of the coast was underwhelmed by the projects that were selected for funding in 2019. Over to the east of us, Huntington Ingalls has received two major ship contracts from the U.S. Navy, which is causing them to reopen the East Bank in Pascagoula. Ingalls also picked up two contracts for the construction of icebreakers from the U.S. Coast Guard. You can say the economic activity is picking up in Jackson County. To the west of us, the city of Gulfport is moving forward with the Centennial Plaza and the aquarium. The Centennial Plaza has opened, and the aquarium is looking at a mid to late year opening. In downtown Biloxi, the ambitious project to revitalize Biloxi by opening up Howard Avenue is looking very good. The city has okayed another $54 million for downtown development. This will include the Sanger Theater, the Barks Building, the Woolworth Building, the Crest Building, the Ryder Building, the old upstairs-downstairs lot, and the Spanish Trail Books lot. All of this will encompass some 230,000 square feet of development. But most important, there will be some 330 residential housing units to be created. And on the way to work this morning, I took a little bit different route, and I drove around this parking lot, which is just north of the Sanger Theater, and I noticed scaffolding was going up. The city of Biloxi also has a request for proposal on the feasibility for the Satellite Convention Center and Theater on the east end of Biloxi. That has been completed, and a decision on how to proceed is expected shortly. Also, I am enclosing our bank's analysis of the Biloxi casino gaming revenues for 2018, 2019, and 20. The sports book was legalized here in Mississippi in August of 2018. Prior to that time, the gaming revenues were basically flat. But starting in August of 2018, the gaming revenues began increasing. In 2019, the total revenue was up some $55,290,000, or 6.52% over 2018. In 2020, the total revenue was looking even better until the virus outbreak occurred. The real benefit of sports gaming on the Mississippi Gulf Coast was that it allowed the casinos to reconnect with their players, card base, and market their customer base. Every casino saw an increase in slot play, tables games, restaurant visits, and hotel stays, which drove the overall income. The Gulf Coast was looking for a record-setting year in 2020 with gaming revenues. However, in late January, a nationwide public emergency for the COVID-19 virus was declared that was followed up by a worldwide pandemic. On April 3rd, 2020, Governor Reeves issued a shelter-in-place executive order. This order included social distancing, frequent hand-washing, prohibited gatherings of 10 or more people, limiting bars and restaurants to takeout and delivery or curbside service, travel restrictions and delegation and quarantine and isolation orders were given to the local authorities to have jurisdiction. This order remains in effect until April 27, 2020. Because of the shelter-in-place order, we sent out another press release which added a teleconference feature to our board in case you would like to listen to the meeting but did not want to violate the spirit of the gathering of 10 or more people in the governor's order. Today, we are living in difficult times. Our community is a retail and a tourist economy. A huge portion of our jobs are service sector jobs that affect all of us. I am hoping that the Paycheck Protection Program being funded by the local banks through the Small Business Administration Guarantee Program will allow our workers in the community to maintain their standard of living while the country confronts this virus threat and allows the economy to get back on its feet. At this point in the program, our bank has completely funded 156 loans, which totaled $14.5 million. Before we started taking new applications. We had at that time 92 more applications but were approved but not yet dispersed. We're happy to say that all those applications that we had funding for have now been dispersed, and we have right now, at the close of that program last week, we had 23 applications waiting for the program to be expanded, and we expect that to be happening this coming Thursday. This has been a tremendous benefit to our community and our residents. As our Mississippi Gulf Coast economy gains traction, you will see why we're optimistic about our coast's recovery and the future of the People's Bank.